Yo, today is November 29, 2022. Welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live. We're your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, recover breaking news, culture, memetic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Very interesting news yesterday. Fidelity announces that they're going to finally open Bitcoin trading. They have $4.5 trillion with the T, assets under management. Huge news. We also have a very special guest today. We have Will Reeves. He is the CEO of Fold. I'm sure a lot of you guys know them and use them yourselves. So I want to give a shout out to him. Will, welcome to the show. Happy to have you. And Will has some announcements about Fold, so that should be interesting.
It's good to be here, Nico. It's been a while.
It has been a while. I think the last time I saw you was in Austin. And of course, my legendary co-host, the always optimistic Optimus Fields. How you doing, buddy?
Well, good morning, Nico. Good morning, everyone. What's up, Will? Good. I'm excited for this one, man. Not only do we have Will Reeves, CEO of Fold, but guys, if you don't know, he's got probably the best style in Bitcoin. As you can tell, he's got the MT Gox shirt going over here. So this guy's always swagged out. I'm excited for this. Anyways, Nico, let's get into this one.
Yeah, we're also going to talk about a very important topic as well, right? Is the really like the, now we're not only living through the disintermediation of money, but we're also living through the disintermediation of information, right? And we're kind of seeing whatever you want to call it, the machine fight back on Twitter, the whole Twitter debacle. We're going to get into details as why I believe that is. We're going to get Will's thoughts on all that. Just censorship and all these topics that I think is really important, because at the end of the day, I really believe that freedom of speech is the front line. It's really, if we lose that battle, right, what makes you think if you're not able to speak your mind on the internet, you're able to transact with anybody on the internet? And you can make the argument you can't stop Bitcoin, but still, do you want it to get to that point? I don't know. These are very important conversations that I feel like we need to have. But anyways, let's get to the show. Let's do this. And then we'll talk about all that stuff.
The Bitcoin Numbers,
brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today. All right, everybody. At the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 16,400 sats per dollar, 6,098, block height 765,201, reachable Bitcoin nodes were at 14,846, blocks of the halving 74,799, halving estimate day could not come any sooner, April 24, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity were at 5,113 Bitcoin, capacity value $83 million US dollars, realized monetary inflation continuing to take fiat currencies to absolute school, 1.77%, and market capitalization, we're sitting pretty at $315 billion in the grand scheme of things. Bitcoin is still a tiny baby. Anyways, I want to talk about this, and I definitely want to take advantage of the fact that Will is on the show today. And it was a tweet by Ben Gammon, and he has a very popular YouTube show. I think it's called
George Gammon.
George, I'm sorry. What did I say?
Ben.
I don't know. There's so many Bens. There's so many Bens.
The Ben gang strikes again.
The attack of the Bens, bro. So George Gammon, thanks, Opti. He hosts a very popular YouTube show. I think it's called Rebel Capitalist. And he had this interesting tweet. And we had a lot of people in the comment section that replied back to it. But I want to hear what Will thinks of this. And for audio listeners, it says, any form of money used by humans will not have a set amount, including Bitcoin. And ironically, the more Bitcoin is used as money, parentheses, if it is, the more paper claims will be created that functionally are the same. Perfect money controlled by imperfect humans will be imperfect. And then, you know, he did have some rebuttals. You have Bitstein saying they are not functionally the same. Paper Bitcoin could only be accepted by colluding custodial institutions. They cannot be transmitted over the Bitcoin or Lightning networks. Anyone with a full known will always know the true supply of real Bitcoin and reject paper. Huge disadvantage. Brandon Quinton says paper claims are obviously not functionally the same. FTX, Celsius, BlockFi make this obvious. Paper claims can plus will exist on Bitcoin and other monetized good. 3, Bitcoin is unique because the monetary policy slash printer cannot be captured. Imperfect humans will try and fail. And I think they've definitely been trying to. Robert Breedlove says, as more crypto custodian exchange and shitcoin projects collapse, there will be more pain and hence information surfaced into the minds of market actors until every holder of Bitcoin is in a counterparty risk minimized custody arrangement. And he mentions multi-sig yen.
Nico says, have fun staying poor.
Thanks, Opti. Yan says, where the paper clips on Bitcoin at FTX functionally the same as Bitcoin. So, Will, you know, as the CEO of Fold, a loved Bitcoin company in the space, what are your thoughts on this comment, right? Does it make your blood boil? Is he just wrong? Do you think he's just not educated on the matter? What are your thoughts?
I mean, one thing that we know, about Bitcoin and the protocol and the community is that, you know, Bitcoin's protocol may be in itself something that cannot be manipulated, but the community around it can. And whether that's deposit your Bitcoin here to earn 10% yield and essentially start to create the incentive and the trap around creating paper Bitcoin. So I do agree with him. While we have perfect money, imperfect humans will exist. And it's just, okay, once we get to that fact, what happens? Well, number one, Bitcoin has this amazing quality about it that if you don't want to participate in this world of imperfect humans, you can exist with the protocol, withdraw to cold storage. So from that perspective, you can operate on a Bitcoin standard, withdrawn to your own custody, and not have to play the manipulation games of imperfect people. But it would be silly to say that there won't be paper IOU money Bitcoin floating around, because the incentives will always be there. And so what you're going to get is there will be premiums placed on institutions and custodial arrangements that either make rehypothecation illegal, as what you've seen in Wyoming, where the activities of BlockFi were actually felonious. And that's why BlockFi had to stop operation in Wyoming. And so you saw that from a regulatory standard. But at the end, as a Bitcoiner, my bias is, hey, let's not necessarily look to regulation for this. Withdraw to cold storage and let's make some of the best cold storage self-custodial products out there. I think that's the first thing. But at the end of the day, the incentives are there to play with paper money. When the good times are rolling, it's easier to play with paper money and print that more and more, hide what may be not working under the hood and what's maybe unsustainable. So it will exist. It's just whether you as an individual want to play that game. And, you know, as we've seen over the last couple months, it's an unwise game to play. And it's essentially a game of musical chairs. And, it will continue to be that way.
100%. And I completely agree with you. During the bull market, it's all party, right? It's really during the bear market, you know, that all these, right. I never forget, man. And not to name any specific content creators by names, but, you know, be like BlockFi, you know, this is the best $300 million valuation. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about. And
rocket ship, get on board.
Thanks, Opti. And then literally not even a year later, it just total collapse. And it's exactly what you said. It's just rehypothecation. It's paper Bitcoin. It's creating claims on Bitcoin that don't exist, right? And you see this, you saw the same thing with FTX. But let's talk about human nature, right? I've been a Bitcoin educator, content creator, whatever you want to call it, for about 6 years now. And one of the things, like, the reality that I've run into, Will, is some people, just because they're comfortable outsourcing personal responsibility, whatever it is, right? Which, by the way, tends to happen more in the West than in developing countries, where it's just like there is no option there. You're like, no, it is about putting food on the table, being able to feed my family. I'm not trusting this bank, right? But I think in the West, people have not been burnt enough. I think the FTX was definitely a giant wake-up call. We're seeing record amount of outflows. But is that... and I think maybe George referred to this a little bit, is the human element something that can't be fixed, right? Is that final thing where they're just, we have to accept that there is a portion of the population that they're never going to learn self-custody. Maybe that's just a generational thing. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's a challenge that we need to solve, but you look at this and it's one of the most ridiculous things when you put it in perspective, especially considering the events of the last couple months. You're holding Bitcoin, which is the best performing asset of the last decade. And undeniably, one of the most important creations that we have seen since the internet. And you have the high time preference, such high time preference that you want to give that Bitcoin away for an extra 6% yield on that. And I think a lot of it comes down to just the imperfect and greediness of humans. And the weird part is, if you just held on to your Bitcoin, you would be in a much, much better spot. But instead, we're scrapping for 6%, 3%, which is essentially just paying you 6% for taking the risk of 100% of your Bitcoin. And that narrative was just so thrown under the bus from, you know, a lot of the very influential content creators in the space. That was papered over quite literally, that narrative just didn't punch out to the mainstream, that they could be holding one of the most valuable assets and then they don't have to actually do anything. Yet everything and millions of dollars of marketing for, sports stadiums, Super Bowl ads, all of the most listened to, most watched content creators were all funneling this message of give us 100% of your Bitcoin. And in return for taking that risk, we'll give you 6% back. And it's just so backwards. But, you know, in these times when we have collapses like this, it's truly vindication. It's something that a lot of us were able to see coming from a long time. And it's something that we're going to continue on that cycle. And I don't think you fix that in people.
Yeah, and I 100% agree. I think it's human nature. It is what it is. But the silver lining, though, is that I think a much bigger percentage of people, and you are wearing a Mt. Gox shirt, right? So that's a great example, because that was the original example of not your keys, not your Bitcoin. I think a lot of people, unfortunately, they had to burn their finger, you know, on the stove, so to speak. But I think they did learn the benefits of not your keys, not your Bitcoin, and they learn the benefits of self-custody. And you could bet your bottom dollar a percentage of those people, whatever that is, they're going to start taking Bitcoin into self-custody, and they're not going to outsource that anymore, right? So there is, that's, I guess, exactly a silver lining. There is a silver lining in this. But anyways, guys, I want to talk about Fold. So we're going to do the culture first, and then we're going to hit the news in a bit. All right, let's check out the culture, everybody.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today. All right, everybody. So today I want to talk about, and I use them too. I'm a customer. The black one, the black card. I don't know what the specific name for that is, but the premium one. I love Fold. It's great. Definitely cash back is the percentage back in Bitcoin. The wheel is a lot of fun. I don't know. I think it's a great product overall. And Will's the CEO, and I've been hounding him, bothering him to get him on Simply for a minute now. And we're really happy that you join us today, man. So why don't you tell Will, from your perspective, why don't you tell everybody what Fold is, you know, why people, you know, could potentially be interested in it, what does it do, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, I think a lot of the Bitcoin companies that we're seeing now are aligned incentives. And I think Fold was started off with that one insight. How can we create an amazing business that stack sats alongside of our user base? And the more sats they stack, the more we do. And there's really nothing more to it. We have a debit card that allows you to earn sats on every purchase. We split that with our user base. Last week alone, our users withdrew over $250,000 of Bitcoin into cold storage and self-custody. We encourage that. And so we just create a way that unlocks a new source of Bitcoin in your everyday life without any of the games that are being played. Now, we play our own games and make sure you're having fun along the way. Have fun getting rich is something we like to say at Fold. And it's really something about how can we unlock new ways for you to passively stack Bitcoin in the background. And the first thing we did was we created a merchant network, allowed you to earn, you know, cash back in Bitcoin when you shop at Amazon, Uber. From there, we launched a debit card. And very recently, over the last couple of weeks, we launched the ability to actually buy Bitcoin within the Fold app. And that's been in beta right now. We're learning quite a bit, but it's personally one of my favorite new features we shipped.
So talk to me about your Bitcoin purchases. So these are through the app, right? So you're on the Fold app, you have it pulled up, and let's say you have I'm assuming the 120 that are listening on Twitter Spaces plus the 80 plus or the roughly 80 people that are watching on YouTube. I'm assuming all you guys have had this feeling of impulsivity smash buy. So let's say you're on the Fold app, right? You know, you're loading it with cash so that you could use your Fold card. Is it through the app that you're able to make, like, how does it work, Will? And then is a really important question. Are you able to take self-custody of that Bitcoin that you purchase?
Yeah, good question. So when you sign up for the Fold app, you can either just bring your own debit card or credit card or Lightning wallet, and you can buy essentially gift cards at, you know, Amazon, Uber, Starbucks, you name it. And then from there, you're going to earn a percentage cash back. At Amazon, you're going to get 5%, you know, Uber, 2 or 3%. And all of that goes into your Fold wallet rewards, which you can withdraw to your self-custody for zero fees. Again, last week alone, our users, just what they withdrew, not what they had earned, was 250K. And we're seeing that number go up and up and up because of the events of the last couple months, but also because people stack a ton of sats with Fold. And there are ways to use it that you spend on the debit card that we give you. You're going to earn it on every single purchase you make, but also does things that, you know, your typical cashback credit card couldn't do. We have, our community has identified some pretty incredible ways to stack sats that just never existed before. So we have people stacking on their mortgage payments, on their taxes, on their bills. And you can just guess how many sats you start to stack when you start to include those bills into your picture. I'd say that's the stacking sats hack of the year right there.
So that's incredible. So that's really interesting. So, you know, if you have a mortgage, right, and most people, you know, aren't able to outright buy their house, they have a mortgage, you're able to use the Fold product or the things that you offer to be able to make those purchases. And then what percentage of your loan, of your mortgage payment, do you get back in Bitcoin? I'm sure a lot of people are listening to this right now with their mouth watering.
Yeah, I mean, you can either take a 1% flat, so essentially cut your mortgage payment by 1%, which is pretty incredible these days, considering the rising mortgage rates. Just using Fold alone can help weather the storm that we're currently in. But if you choose to spin, that spin can earn you up to 100% back. But, you know, it's roughly going to be between 0.5% on the low side, up to 100%. And so it brings in that element of chance. Again, the idea is to make stacking sats fun. You know, there is definitely something about, you know, this world where Bitcoin is an incredibly serious innovation and has pretty serious implications for society and money and relationships. And so Fold likes to create an experience with it that is also brings the element of fun, lightness, that I think will come with this world. It's not all going to be, you know, totally serious, but the revolution will be fun as well.
100%. We always say, right, we have to meme it into existence. Opti, do you have any questions for Will?
Dude, not really. I mean, there's just one question over here that people are asking in the chat, wondering, will Fold app be available in the UK?
It's a good question. That's something that you asked me a year and a half ago. I would have said by now we would have been there. But as it stands right now, it's taking a little bit longer. Part of the reason is every single time you look to a new jurisdiction with the traditional banking world, it makes you love Bitcoin even more. This idea of a borderless payment system without jurisdictions or regulations to slow the introduction of incredible new financial tools to everyday people. So that has been a pretty impressive hurdle. But I will say there are some options for you out in the UK. I know that there's a couple sats back services there. I know in Canada they have ShakePay and others, but trust us, we're working on it, whether we move there ourselves or we empower others to be able to provide that service there too. So both are on the roadmap.
So speaking of jurisdictions and regulations, right? The you know we had that you know infamous executive order released by the White House, right? And the digital assets framework, right? That Nick Carter did a great job, rebuking, rebuttaling. What are your thoughts on that? And the reason I ask you this, Will, is because at the end of the day, you know, you are an entrepreneur with a Bitcoin business. You're putting your hopes and dreams in that business, right? You know, we see it more from the perspective of a media company, but it's kind of the same thing. But you guys are actually dealing with a lot of the financial infrastructure, right? That could potentially be, you know, affected by, you know, hostile regulation, whatever you want to call that. So this is something that you worry about. I know that, you know, Bitcoiners have been, you know, whether it's the Bitcoin Policy Institute, right, there has been some movements to at least educate some of the regulators. But what are your thoughts on this? What can people do specifically if you're living in the United States?
I think, you know, the first thing is develop a business where incentives are aligned with your users, which I think we've done pretty well. The next thing is we're definitely at the stage of, and then they fight us. And that's no doubt. That's what we're seeing currently come out of coming down from politicians, regulators, and even just culturally as well. I think the tide has definitely shifted in some ways, and for good reason. You know, the antics in the DeFi space have absolutely tarnished what is considered, you know, our industry overall, even though we, you know, are not supportive or support a lot of what's going on there. And so I think the most important thing to do now is continue to build as fast as possible. Build as fast as possible, excuse me, so that we can still provide the services that allow people to be stacking sats as much as possible, allow the most access to the ability to stack sats, to be investing in privacy preserving technologies, to be investing in non-custodial user experiences. All of that will make the network more resilient, will allow companies like Fold to continue to operate, but will make Bitcoin itself more anti-fragile. And unfortunately, it is truly now at that time where we need to accelerate that building, and the stakes are much higher. This is not bull run fun and games, Jim Cramer and everyone's, you know, grandparents, you know, cheering you on. This is now going to get difficult. And the only option I see to stopping this is to continue to build and build the things that make Bitcoin more anti-fragile. Because if we don't, Bitcoin will still succeed. It's just going to be a lot uglier and take a lot more time.
And we're going to all have to move to El Salvador. So yeah, I agree with you. It's Corey Clipson released basically it's a race of adoption, right? Like we need to get as many people as humanly possible, individuals adopting Bitcoin. And because they're adopting Bitcoin, you're just betting on their own self-preservation incentive, right? To, you know, this thing, I have a lot of my net worth in it, or I'm earning in this thing, and these guys are trying to take that away from me. And when I say these guys, you know, talking about, you know, potentially politicians and whatnot. So yeah, I agree. So what are your thoughts on that? The idea of the race of adoption, and where does Fold fit into all that?
You know, one of the things I've said for a while is that Fold's not just building a way to increase access to Bitcoin or, you know, make Bitcoin fun or give Bitcoin away. It's also a machine that builds a constituency of Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. You know, one of our mantras at Fold is distribute as much Bitcoin to as many people as possible in as little amount of time. And that's really about building this constituency. The more people that have Bitcoin, the more people that understand Bitcoin, again, builds the social and anti-fragile layer of Bitcoin itself. And so for us to succeed, again, it's not just the building part, but as a byproduct of that, it's building the constituency. It's building the defenders of this as well.
Absolutely, 100%. And I think that the incentives provided by that, it builds Bitcoiners, right? It builds Bitcoiners. Everyone likes to spin that wheel, right? So hell yeah. Anyways, let's get to the news. We have a lot to talk about, specifically in the censorship topic. Anyways, let's check it out.
The Daily News.
brought to you by BitBox 2 Bitcoin Only Edition, a hardware wallet by Shift Crypto, crypto-like cryptography. It's secure, it's open source, and it's so easy your mom can set it up. Self-custody is the revolution, and the BitBox makes it simple. Do not leave your Bitcoin on an exchange. Order a BitBox today.
All right, so this is really interesting. Specifically, I am a first-generation American, and you know, at the end of the day, the First Amendment, right, freedom of speech, and you know, supposedly it protects you from any type of government intervention in speech. But that, you know, we're living in this weird moment in history where that's not the case. And check out this clip, and it's a reporter asking the White House press secretary about what her thoughts are on the recent acquisition of Elon Musk and Twitter. And I'm going to make the case as in why that's becoming a pain in the ass for them, because their ability to control narratives, specifically with someone in charge that's for more free speech, is becoming incredibly difficult. And you could see how threatened they are by this. But again, living in the U.S., you know, what you're sold on what the U.S. is, and you know what you're seeing, it is, it's extremely alarming, and it's definitely something to talk about. Anyways, I'm going to play the clip, and then we'll discuss it.
Critical moment, really, in terms of ensuring that Twitter does not become a vector for misinformation. I mean, are you concerned about the, you know, Elon Musk says there's more and more subscribers coming online. Are you concerned about that? And what tools do you have? Who is it at the White House that is really keeping track of this?
So look, this is something that we're certainly keeping an eye on. And look, we have always been very clear and that when it comes to social media platforms, it is their responsibility to make sure that when it comes to misinformation, when it comes to the hate that we're seeing, that they take action, that they continue to take action. Again, we're all keeping a close eye on this. We're all monitoring what's currently occurring. And we see it with our own eyes of what you all are reporting, and just for ourselves, what's happening on Twitter. But again, social media companies have a responsibility to prevent their platform.
So it's absolutely super crazy, right? Specifically, you know, we all know what the First Amendment is, but it's not only, you know, the U.S., right? The United Nations as well. You know, they're coming out with the, you know, this is a meme at the end of the day, right? It's a grenade with, for audio listeners, with, you know, the little bumps in the grenade, they're keyboards and they're keys. And it says words can be weapons. And, you know, it's all talking about hate speech and whatever. But the problem is, right, who gets to define hate speech? And the person that gets to define hate speech is obviously going to use that definition to protect themselves, right? But you know, and it's a full court press by the legacy media, right? This is the Los Angeles Times. This is a headline. Elon Musk says Apple has mostly stopped advertising on Twitter, right? This is Elon Musk. He says, this is a battle for the future of civilization. If free speech is lost, even in America, tyranny is all that lies ahead, right? And I actually had a Twitter thread that actually blew up pretty well. And I'm going to read you the first two parts because it's a pretty long thread. So the reason the legacy corporate media had a meltdown when Elon allowed anybody to get verified is because they're losing their credentialed privilege. Now they have to compete with millions of citizen journalists on equal footing that are not compromised by special interests. These gatekeepers of information that benefited from an absolute monopoly are being disintermediated in real time. So their ability to control narratives is severely weakened by individuals that can actually tell the truth. And I think that's what's actually going on here. And I think that's why they're freaking out so much. You know, this is a paradigm shift, right? We've always had these gatekeepers of information, and governments have been able to capture these things, right? You know, in 2003, they sold the American public on the Iraq War, right? Now we have Twitter and social media, and allows millions upon millions of individuals to talk amongst, you know, directly with each other. And the reason that I believe that these types of conversations and these topics are important is because if they don't allow you to speak your mind online, what makes you think they'll allow you or they'll want you to have the ability to transact with anybody online, right? So I really believe the fight for free speech is the front line to the fight for Bitcoin. But I might be wrong here. Will, what are your thoughts on all this? This is definitely a scary moment in history.
Yeah, I mean, what we're seeing here now is old tools not quite working in the new paradigm. The worst way to fight misinformation is to try to disappear that information, to try to hide it, because we are operating day one in a world of no barriers to that information getting out and propagating elsewhere. And so what you're seeing is very old tools of censorship being rising up, and essentially we're seeing meme warfare at the level from White House government bodies to, you know, extrajudicial, extra government bodies, WEF, down to even Elon Musk. Elon Musk is also playing these games as well, and all of it in the name of censorship. But as you said, it's all about according to who and what is censorship. And we are already at a point in this world where that is now impossible to define. We live in a extremely complex world where on Twitter, the ex-president is not able to have a Twitter presence, but we have actual legitimate dictators with Twitter presence. So none of it makes sense. It's all clown world. And to call it anything different is that all of these parties are now operating in this meme warfare against each other, knowing that they both want to censor certain parts of each other and to essentially take on power. So I would say, I think overall, you know, Musk is taking on a considerable challenge here to, you know, take on the likes of Apple, the largest corporation in the world, the U.S. government. But let's also understand that he's also playing the game now. If we believe that, then it's like, okay, what's the lesser evil, or what are our alternatives away from this, you know, hellscape anyway? And so I think that's really where we need to put this question is at the end of the day, we're operating in a place where information cannot be suppressed. It will be propagated elsewhere. And at the same time, any effort to suppress information is just going to be reflective of that person's bias. And so who is that person going to be? Who do we trust it to be? Well, Bitcoin, for once, has given us a slight understanding that we don't actually need to trust. We can actually create systems and tools that remove that human element from it. Now, I think this is a little bit more difficult in this way. There's a lot more complexities there. But I think what it does is shine a light into what's going on here, so that at least it helps us to know what's actually going on.
100%. And I so this is another part of the thread I said, and I think we're witnessing really is the first battle, right? Is, you know, you hit the nail on the head, Will, right? Is that the internet disintermediated the state's monopoly on information, right? Their ability to control narratives is greatly diminished. And, you know, you could blame the internet. You could say the internet's responsible for that. But I think what's also coming, and you're starting to see the state respond as well, is the disintermediation on the monopoly of money, right? And the reason that I believe that battle is going to be a lot more tough is because that is the source, that is a huge source of their power, right? The sovereign individual talks about this, right? You know, a lot of other Bitcoiners have talked about this as well, right? So if we're seeing this much pushback on trying to keep their stranglehold on information, what is going to be the fight for their attempt to control or to keep that privilege of money, of control of money?
Well, I think, you know, at the end of the day, we talk a lot about Bitcoin and, you know, as free speech in, you know, certain ways Bitcoin absolutely is. And it is actually from a protocol level has given us power tools against some of these power structures that have just never existed before. And now that we see this happening to the kind of the information, you know, town squares that we see, like the Twitters and other places, we saw this even elections with, you know, on Facebook with the, you know, Russian involvement, you know, whether they're attacking Republicans or Democrats, whatever, all of this, the delegitimization of platforms that foster open discussion or at least create the opportunity for that is also part of the game. It is not just purely winning the censorship, it's delegitimizing platforms that can foster and welcome open debate. Because once that happens, if you can delegitimize the platform itself, if you can make a open town square impossible, we need to then fall back to rely on old modes of communication. And so when we look at the interesting thing of how censoring on social networks has actually been historically something that the right and the left has both done, it's more reflective of not just them trying to control the conversation in their favor, it's also just delegitimizing these new platforms of open discourse. And that alone will help both sides and the both power structures more at the end of the day than what we see as this quibbling of who can say what and where. If you can delegitimize this platform, that brings back the opportunity for them to restore a certain power structure that they may have lost.
100%. It's almost as if you need to take the power, which I think Bitcoin has done successfully, right? Rules without rulers, right? Take the human element out of the equation. It's almost as if it, I don't know how this is going to come about. I have no idea. It definitely can't be a central platform. Definitely has to be some type of protocol, right? But unless the element of a human being to get involved, to interact with it, to change the rules as they see fit, I think you hit the nail in the head, Will. It doesn't matter whether it's a right-leaning person or a left-leaning person, just their own human nature is going to want to try to intervene, right? And from their perspective, to give them credit, they feel like they're fighting the good fight. They feel like they're justified in this form of censorship. Right. And that's why Bitcoin at the end of the day is called the money of enemies, because you have to be OK with your worst enemy using it. And there's really nothing you can do about it. Anyways, big news I want to talk about today, and I want to get Will's perspective. Fidelity begins opening retail Bitcoin trading accounts. And also Fidelity, just to let you guys know, has about $4.5 trillion under management. So absolutely huge. Goes on to say Fidelity, one of the world's largest financial service providers, has officially started opening retail Bitcoin trading accounts. According to a report by The Block, certain users, presumably those on the wait list, received an email detailing the release, which stated the wait is over. Fidelity has been active in the Bitcoin industry for some time. According to the company website, it began mining Bitcoin in 2014. I don't know if I believe that. Anyways, it goes on to say the financial services giant interest in Bitcoin has not come without criticism. Here's Elizabeth Warren. Having been the subject of a U.S. senator's scrutiny for its offering of 401k plan that allows users to allocate to Bitcoin. And I really believe, and we made the case for this, right? So really trying to stop adoption. Cares about those 401ks. Surfaced again recently from the same group of senators who stated in their Fidelity's quote, Fidelity's investments have opted to expand beyond traditional finance into the highly unstable and increasingly risky digital assets market. Well, that last part I think is insincere. They're not doing that. They're getting into Bitcoin, right? If you hold on to Bitcoin, it goes up and to the right. And what about inflation? Why is that never talked about? It's like as if it's like a law of nature. Inflation is here. You guys all have to deal with it. It's not a topic that's brought up, right? So what about that, Elizabeth Warren? That never gets talked about. So Will, from your perspective, right, what are your thoughts on Fidelity? I didn't see them mentioning them giving the ability to their users to take that Bitcoin into self-custody, right? We know that Robinhood added Bitcoin purchases as well. But hey, you know, they didn't add that functionality till later, right? And I believe that's the revolution is won by individuals taking self-custody. If individuals don't take self-custody, it's more of the same, just rebranded with the Bitcoin logo. So Will, what are your thoughts?
You know, Fidelity has been a sleeping giant in the Bitcoin space for a while, actually. If you look around, some of the core people involved in mining, venture, and others that have actually come out of the early team at Bitcoin or at Fidelity around Bitcoin. So they've been around very quietly building and I think genuinely interested. Now, you go back to what we were talking about at the top here is that you need to make sure the business is aligned with your users and the incentive structure of Bitcoin. So if you are not allowed to withdraw to self-custody, if they are not making serious attempts at demonstrating or being very clear that they are not rehypothecating their Bitcoin, their incentives are fundamentally misaligned with Bitcoin and we should be very skeptical about whatever offering they're doing. Again, the only Bitcoin that's real Bitcoin is that in your own cold storage. So I'm frankly bullish, but at the end of the day, I think when you have a player like Fidelity this big, it does start to portend the future where there is a world that's very likely where the majority of people buying Bitcoin will be doing it directly from their traditional banks that they have done it in the past, all of which are not used to selling an asset that has a fundamental limited scarcity that does not work in rehypothecation scenarios that they are very used to and that they enjoy quite a bit. So I think the incentive for them to look at Bitcoin in a very fiat mindset is going to be strong. And so people who are interacting with this need to be very sure and very scrutinize the incentives they have. And a lot of that's very easy. Do they encourage self-custody? Do they build in non-custodial opportunities to withdraw? Do they have a commitment to not rehypothecating their Bitcoin? All of these things will help us figure out whether this is ultimately a good or bad thing, or are we just at the very beginning of our next cycle that in 4 years we will coming back here and talking about how did we end up here and wow, this problem was way bigger than what we saw in 2022.
100%. And it's just going to get magnitudes bigger. I completely agree. All right. Last headline I want to talk about today, and I will. I feel like you're going to really enjoy this one. Before that, Opti, soundboard to that specific content creator, please.
One second. I got you.
Rocket ship, get on board.
All right. Perfectly suited. Crypto firm BlockFi files for bankruptcy as FTX fallout spreads. Goes on to say distressed. Can you play it again, Opti? One more time.
So what BlockFi, rocket ship, get on board.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Distressed crypto firm BlockFi has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in the United States bankruptcy court for the District of New Jersey following the implosion of putative acquirer FTX. In the filing, the company indicated that it had more than 100,000 creditors. Oh, my God. With liabilities and assets ranging from $1 billion to $10 billion. The company also listed an outstanding $275 million loan to FTX US, the American arm of Sam Bankman-Fried, now bankrupt empire. Both the Bahamas with FTX bankruptcy and now Bermuda with BlockFi's faced a significant legal test of their crypto regulations. BlockFi's bankruptcy filings show that the company's largest disclosed client has a balance of nearly $28 million. Hashtag absolutely wrecked. Will, you said it earlier, man. This is a bittersweet vindication of all the Bitcoiners that have been screaming from the rooftops, not your keys, not your Bitcoin. And holy cow, did we get a lot of crap during that bull market, man. So what are your thoughts on the FTX bankruptcy?
So someone tweeted this. I think this is what the other day that so BlockFi is a creditor to FTX that lent to Alameda, that lent to Emergent, which is a shell company owned by SBF that bought Robinhood shares that were pledged as collateral to guarantee to BlockFi the loan to FTX that was used to bail out BlockFi itself. This is you could not get a more extreme example coming out of what were the absolute darlings of the crypto industry. And of how things can go far out of control when you're dealing with Bitcoin, an asset fundamentally that is not compatible with rehypothecation in a world that also meets extreme levels of venture capital money in bull markets. This is what happens when those two forces come to bear. The absolute bare realities of Bitcoin and its monetary properties with an absolute out of control fiat system that was drowning in capital. And we saw it all come to bear in this mine. That's how you get that clown world scenario. So again, this is what has been spoken about. There's no lack of Bitcoiners talking about this from as early as 2018, 2019, when this first, when BlockFi was first, founded. And, being an entrepreneur in this space, that, you know, had been raising money in those periods, it was exceptionally difficult to have our signal reach through the noise that we knew was noise to the most prominent VCs in the space, who were very, very focused on saying, well, how can you match X or Y company? And it's very difficult to go into then why their business model will lead to a problem in, you know, at the any sign of, you know, breakdown in the market. But the return on their capital was way too strong. And it couldn't have been a more spectacular example of everything that we have been warning about for many years.
So will they be able to raise money? A lot of these, you know, insincere projects, these projects that rehypothecate, do you believe that they'll be able to raise money the next, you know, the next cycle, right? 2017 was the infamous ICO boom, right? You could say that this cycle was the rehypothecation slash NFT slash yield on your Bitcoin type of thing. Will that business model work next time around? Will investors kind of be wary and be skeptical about it?
It's going to shift. I mean, what's primarily going to happen now is undoubtedly regulation is going to come down hard, and it's going to come down hard on what it can do. Can it stop self-custody of Bitcoin? That's extremely difficult to do. But can it really come down on custodians of Bitcoin and limit what they can do? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, the largest market for all of this is just borderless international markets. And I think a lot of this, as you're going to see, move elsewhere in ways that make it harder for jurisdictions to actually have a foothold on this. Now, this is going to push a lot of things offshore. And I don't think it's going to look the same. I think you're going to see immediate skepticism towards if anyone presented some of the same models that we just saw with another name. But it is going to start to look, it's going to rhyme rather than it's going to be a carbon copy. And so, yes, the money's going to be there because the financial incentive is way too strong and way too powerful. And at the end of the day, what was cultivated here in the US with some of these models is now going to be made even more powerful going international and going abroad and operating in similar ways that, you know, FTX Bahamas did or Binance Global does. That's where all of this is going to go, and the money will follow it. And it's going to be an order of magnitudes larger.
100%. Every cycle, it just gets a little bit bigger. FTX, man, with Mt. Gox, when that happened, it was the end of the world at the time. And who could have known that it happened later with Mr. Wonderful and Tom Brady as the spokespeople, sponsored arenas, Miami Heat Arena. Shame on, oh man, Miami, we're going to hopefully make it a Bitcoin city again. But yeah, man, it was a giant blow up. What's going to happen the next cycle? It's going to be that much bigger. Are we going to see countries starting to take sponsorships with their name, like Spain sponsored by a certain shitcoin exchange? I don't know. Who knows? Let's see. Opti, why don't you chime in and then we'll move on to the meme review.
Well, I mean, I'm glad I get to sit back and just listen because there's so much signal on today's show. But man, this BlockFi goes bankrupt is just more Bitcoin maxi vindication. And also just a cherry on top of everything we've been saying on today's show. It's like, don't chase yield. You'll become the yield. Don't give 100% of your Bitcoin chasing that 8% yield because you'll never get that Bitcoin back. We say it every single day. Take Bitcoin into self-custody. I'm like the broken record on the show. You know, stay humble, stack sats. And it's just like, man, you could avoid all of this if you just listen to people like us that tell you this every single day. It's like we literally have to beat these same memes and the same stuff over and over and over into people's heads until morale improves. And so until that time, I guess I will just be the broken record on the show. Self-custody is the revolution. Take your Bitcoin into self-custody. This is all you got to do. Stay humble, stack sats. Do not chase the yield because you will get absolutely wrecked, guys. Like, these memes have truth behind them for a reason. We have all put our hand on the stove, and this is why, you know, Bitcoiners are so toxic, is because I feel your pain, man. I remember getting wrecked, and now I guess we are just going into the next cycle where we will have more Bitcoiners being made, and you could have avoided all these lessons if you just stayed humble, stack sats, and took your Bitcoin into self-custody. But, like, man, so much signal on today's show. This was hopefully the new people out there that are learning this lesson can learn it a lot quicker than we did and not get wrecked. But, hey, it looks like, you know, to Will's shirt, the Mt. Gox shirt, I know we're talking about this, and we've said this before on the show, and I know this seems like a huge, huge deal to everyone here, but I'm almost positive, like Will mentioned, in the next 4 years, we will probably be talking about the same thing happening again, just in a new iteration, and we'll be like, how did we get here? And it's like, guys, it's the same old story happening again. So, man, let's just hope that people do actually learn from this. But hey, you know, humans like to play stupid games and win stupid prizes. So hopefully,
amen to that.
Hopefully next time it's not absolutely worse. But hey, you know, it's probably going to be, but whatever.
Hey, but if you're staying humble, stacking sats, to use Odell's famous line, you're watching all this with popcorn, spinning your fold wheel, you know, just watching on the sidelines, you know, with the
hold on, Narwhal. No, bad advice.
Oh man. All right, everybody, let's get to the meme review.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
All right, guys. You already know. This is the meme review. Tweets are the bullets. Memes are the artillery. You guys are on the front lines of this information war. Continue to spread the memes. Continue to get the calls of action. Continue to spread that Bitcoin signal. But of course, drop your meme review score in the chat before this is over so that we can cover it. And you guys, you know us, man. We love the Bitcoin companies out there that continue to meme. So shouts out the Fold because they're still dropping hot memes. And it's almost the cherry on top of this whole conversation today. And this is, you know, the soy boy getting wrecked by BlockFi, getting wrecked by Voyager, getting wrecked by FTX and Luna, getting wrecked by Dog Money and Celsius. And then we got the Chad Bitcoiner just stacking sats like an absolute savage on Fold. Guys, stay humble, stack sats. Again, I didn't even know Nico was going to cover all this stuff today, but man, it's almost like we have the fitting memes for this all today. Shouts out to Odell, and he goes, every yield product in this space is predatory, and promoters do not make clear to users the true. And we have Bitcoiners chasing that 6% interest, about to get rug pulled and caught in the box, guys. If you don't want to lose your Bitcoin, don't give your Bitcoin out to someone. It's a very simple idea, but apparently it's wisdom. This next one, shouts out to our boy Chairforce, and he goes, Bitcoiners are built different. Stock market down 5%, and the stock trader is absolutely wrecked. Bitcoin down 70%. We got the Leo DiCaprio cheap sats. Yes, Bitcoiners built different. This next one. You know, this one hits a little different. It goes hashtag free Ross, and we go Sam Bankman freed, stole $10 billion, still free. Ross Ulbricht created a website, 2 life sentences. Is this justice? Shouts out to the Free Thought Project. That one, you know, hits a little different on today, but shouts out to our boy White Rabbit, and he
is
goes,
he back? He's back.
Yeah, he's back. He's back. He's dropping hot memes, bro. He's back, and he goes, say the line, Bart. Toxic Bitcoiners were right again. We've been using this meme consistently over here because it makes our point for us, guys. Stay toxic out there, friends. This next one, shouts out to RDBTC. And he goes, the battlefield of our ideas, hashtag Bitcoin, hashtag Twitter. And again, Bitcoiners with the 300 meme. I got it for you over here, RD. With the laser eyes. And then we got the no coiners. I don't even know what are these clowns.
Clowns.
Like, man. Oh, man. Amazing. Amazing. All right. And this last one, this one is by Rare Skrilla. And he goes, modern art, no CBDC, choose freedom, choose Bitcoin at no CBDC. Guys, this is the way. This is why we show up every single day to give you the sauce, to educate you, to entertain you, so that you guys could stay on the mission and continue to spread that Bitcoin signal. So, of course, guys, drop your meme review score in the chat, and we will cover some of them. But my meme review score today, guys, is this Fold pin of Plebart the Taco. You already know. Ooh. Look, and he's even got that grumpy Bitcoiner, jaded Bitcoiner face on there. Like all you guys out there, all grumpy and freaking, you know, Bitcoin grouches out there. Shouts out to you guys. Awesome, awesome pin.
I'm going to give it my black fold card. Okay. Will, what would you give those memes as a score?
I was just doing some housework today, so I'm going to give it this a strong fire alarm. Where there's smoke, there's most likely fire, and Bitcoiners will be the first to sniff it out.
Oh, let's go. All right, guys, this is Simply Bitcoin Live. Drop your scores in the chat, and we will try to get to them. HODL Coin says, I give the memes a Sam Bankman fried chicken sandwich. Mmm, use self-custody. Very good. You're very good. Leroy Euphrates says, my friend's spare house key, which I have. Not his key, not his house. All right. Andres Romero says, I give the memes 15 daily spins to only get 5% back. Oh, Will, that was a jab. That was a jab. All right.
Yeah, they're salty. Hey, this is, they troll us live all day, every day.
Yellow says, Yellow gives the memes another spin. Oh, very nice. Very nice. Bitcoin Becca says,
Canadian
I give the
Bitcoin
memes.
Becca.
Canadian Bitcoin Becca, I give the memes a shake pay card. Oh, Will's in the hot seat today, man. All right. And do we have any more scores?
No, we're everyone's salty. I think I triggered them.
Everyone's salty. All right, guys, check out Simply Bitcoin Telegram group. It's absolutely free. You got to go to www.t.me/simplybitcointv. That's how you link us Bitcoin memes to review. Also, check out the blog. Simply Bitcoin Unfiltered. Go to www.simplybitcoin.news. Anyways, Opti, we do have an open source software release today. Let's check it out, and then we will wrap it up. Let's do it.
Bitcoin software release.
Brought to you by CipherSafe. Don't be that person that loses their Bitcoin seed due to fire damage, water damage, dog attacks. Back up your generational Bitcoin wealth on Steel, and there's no better place to do it than the Cypher Grid by CipherSafe. And now check out their new Bitcoin art, the Bitcoin Rulux triangle, only on CipherSafe.io. All right, guys, we have a new version of BTC Pay version 1.7.0. New checkout page, unified QR for on-chain and Lightning, store branding and white labeling and more. Well, that's actually a pretty big release. That's awesome. That's really, really cool. BTC Pay is one of my favorite open source projects in the space. Also, guys, check out the audio version of this show. You can subscribe to us on Anchor, Spotify, Apple. And if you're a fan of the value for value economy, check us out on Fountain, and we will read all the comments that you guys stream us on Fountain. We will read them on Friday. We'll put a screenshot of all of them, and we'll give you guys a shout out. Also, check out our merch sponsor, representltd.com. Opti and I wear the merch every single day. The Simply Bitcoin merch just released. It has a tank on the back. It's ridiculous. Check it out. Only at representltd.com, and you can take advantage of the promo code Simply-Bitcoin to get a 10% discount, anything on the representltd.com. I also want to thank our awesome guest. Will, thank you so much for coming on today, joining us. Why don't you tell everybody where they could find you and where they could find out more about Fold?
You know, just another pleb on Twitter. So shout out on there. Let me know what you want to see on Fold. Definitely try out the product. Try out any of the good Bitcoin products out there, because this is the moment that all those that were building good businesses get to shine. A lot of the noise gets to fall away. So you can get foldapp.com. Follow us there. And yeah, Nico, it's been a pleasure, man.
It's been a pleasure, man. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to put you backstage in a second. There is a 15-second delay, so hold strong. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today on Simply Bitcoin Live. If you liked the episode, you know what to do. Smash that like button. If you feel like we provided you value, consider subscribing. And of course, the number one thing you could do to spread the peaceful revolution is share this content. In fact, share all content. And of course, if you want to continue the party, Opti's holding it down with their friends over at Swan Bitcoin. They're hosting a Spaces right now, and it's going all the way to 2 p.m. So if you want to continue the party, have your chance to interact with Opti and maybe Will. I don't know. Maybe. No pressure. Join our Twitter Spaces. It's going live right now. Anyways, guys, we love you all. We will see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin Live.